Baptist Bible Hour right here on the Good News Station.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the Good News Station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My title is Christian Hope, Why We Need It, Part 2. My text is John 20:29, which states, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Christians need to have hope, even when it seems things are hopeless. I believe that every Christian has gone through or will go through a dark night of the soul, where deep doubts and fears flare up. In the Bible, hope is often expressed by the notion of promise. When God enters into contact with human beings, generally this is accompanied by the promise of greater life. We can see this in the story of Abraham. Genesis 12:2-3 states, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he could not do, but on what God said he would do. And so, he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, "You are going to have a big family, Abraham." Abraham believed, even where there seemed to be nothing to believe in, because he had hope in God's promise and in God himself. So too, we need to have this same hope when times seem hopeless. God will not leave us. He is always with us. Another reason we as God's children need to have hope is so we can offer this same hope to those who have none and to those who do not yet know the Lord. If we do not have hope as Christians, what do we have to offer those who have nothing to hold on to? Titus 1:2 states, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promise before the world began. A promise is a dynamic reality that opens new possibilities for human life. It looks toward the future, but it is rooted in a relationship with the God who speaks to me here and now, who calls me to make specific choices in my life. The seeds of the future are found in a present relationship with God. The rootedness in the present is made even stronger with the coming of Jesus Christ. In him, says St. Paul, all God's promises are already a reality. 2 Corinthians 1:2 states, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." This does not only refer, of course, to someone who lived in Palestine 2,000 years ago. For Christians, Jesus is the risen Christ who is with us today. Matthew 28:20 states, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Another text of St. Paul is even clearer. Romans 5:5 states, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Far from being a simple wish for the future and no guarantee that it will come about, Christian hope is the presence of divine love in person, the Holy Spirit, a current of life that carries us to the ocean of the fullness of communion. The Psalms are full of examples of cries for help and with the use of hoping in God. Psalms 25:3 states, yes, let none that wait on him be ashamed. Let them be ashamed that transgress without cause. Psalms 27:14 states, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 38:15 states, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. Psalms 40:11 states, withhold not thou tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalm 71:14 states, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Biblical and Christian hope leads us to discover seeds of a new world already present today. Because of the identity of our God, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this hope is, in addition, a source of energy to live differently, not according to the values of a society based on the thirst for possession and competition. In the Bible, the divine promise does not ask us to sit down and wait passively for it to come about. The good news of the resurrection is not a way of taking our minds off the task of life here and now, but a call to set out on the road. Acts 1:11 states, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. And ye have seen him as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1:8 states, but ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hoping then means, first of all, discovering in the depths of the present a life that leads forward, that nothing is able to stop. It also means welcoming this life by a yes spoken by our whole being. As we embark on this life, we are led to create signs of a different future, here and now, in the midst of the difficulties of the world. Seeds of renewal that will bear fruit when the time comes. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus died a painful death on the cross, but after 3 days, he arose from the dead, giving us hope for eternal life in him. How cities like Portland and Chicago are breathing new life into their urban rivers, by Jim Axelrod, October 21st, 2024, CBS News. For decades, the Willamette River that runs through Portland, Oregon, was a look-but-don't-touch situation. When we first moved here, There was no way you'd get in the water, resident Matthew Manga said. The river was contaminated with raw sewage and had been closed for swimming since 1924. But now things are very different, Willa Levinson, founder of the Human Access Project, helped turn the Willamette River into a vibrant recreational space that officially became swimmable again in 2012. Step number one, find a way to clean up the river. Step number two, there's the cultural change around people, getting people to see there's value in this river, Levinson said. A 1.4 billion pipe project that kept sewage from spilling into the river took care of the first step. Then came step two, an annual inner tube parade called the Big Float brought thousands to the water, making the river party central. I talk to people who tell me, I feel differently about our city now. They feel more connected to the city, Levinson said. That's exactly what Nick Wesley is hoping to achieve in Chicago. His nonprofit Urban Rivers is leading to the charge to transform the Chicago River. He believes that within 10 years, it'll be a lot more common to see people swimming in the river. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is overcoming fear. Fear is big business in the 21st century. Whether we turn on the evening news, listen to the radio on the way to work, or watch people overtake the Capitol, we are bombarded by messages that are intended to induce fear, anxiety, apprehension, and hopelessness. We are reminded time and time again that the world is a dangerous, unpredictable place. So it's no surprise that you will sometimes experience fear. The seven most common fears are fear of criticism, fear of poverty, fear of death, fear of failure, fear of offending others, fear of looking foolish, and fear of success. What are you afraid of? And more importantly, how can you overcome your fears? Well, here are a few ways to help you overcome. First, understand that fear is one of society's greatest commodities. Modern media constantly barrages you with fear-provoking, attention-grabbing headlines designed to capture your thoughts and redirect your life. Your task is to combat fear with faith and maintain a positive attitude. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Second, study God's word and trust God's promises. Studying God's word is important because it is hard to trust what you do not know. God's promises give you faith, hope, and courage. When you are afraid, His promises will comfort you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Third, guard your thoughts and your heart from the anxieties and distractions that might cause you to stray away from His path. When you encounter situations that make you afraid, turn your thoughts and prayers to God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And finally, love God and your neighbor. Now you may be thinking, what's love got to do with it? Well, John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, so the one who is afraid is not perfected in love." Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory, but the good news is that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to pray, trust and obey His word, and take purposeful action for His glory. Be safe and stay encouraged, my friends. And when fear knocks at your door, answer with faith. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible.